Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Golden Globe Award-winning actress and filmmaker Isabella Rossellini is the ringmaster in her delightful one-woman, one-dog show titled Link Link Circus with the Hunter Theater Project. Isabella and her dog, Pan, explore the emotional intelligence and behavior of animals and reveal that we humans have a lot more in common than we think. Let's listen to a clip from the show.
Animal sounds were recorded and played back to the different species, and they had different reactions to different sounds. For example, if a chicken sees a hawk, she will alert the other chicken with this sound. This means in chicken, danger from above, and all the chicken will go and hide underneath bushes, away from the danger from above. But if the danger is from below, a snake or a cat, this will be the sound. Well, this means danger from below, and all the chickens will come up on trees to be away from the dangers from below.
Link Link Circus is running from April 18th through May 3rd at the Frederick Lowe Theater at Hunter College. Isabella Rossellini, welcome to All of It.
Hi, it's great to be here with you.
So I love this, that you went back to school to get your, let me get this right, master's in animal behavior and conservation.
Exactly.
What moved you to do that?
I always wanted to do it, you know, and when I was the right age to do it after high school, really animal behavior wasn't available in Italy. It is a relatively new science. There were some classes in America, not that many, maybe more advanced in England. So I was limited. I didn't speak English either. So when I was the right age to go and study animal behavior, it wasn't really available. So it remained my hobby. I always read about it. Whenever I went on holiday, I tried to go to national park or safaris or zoos. I went to conference to hear about animal behavior, but I never really studied it formally. And then one day, when I was older, my children were grown up and they weren't at home, and I was working less as a model and also less as an actress. I attended a conference at Hunter College about animal behavior, and they were with Temple Grandin, a fantastic lady that you might know about, that designs, you know, she's a great advocate of animal welfare. And they were handing out a little pamphlet that says, we just opened a master's degree program on animal behavior and conservation. And that is what I always wanted to do since I was a little girl. So I signed up that evening.
Right there on the spot.
Right there on the spot. And they were very kind at Hunter College because they understood that I was a woman working, that yes, I have children that are independent, but still I have mama's responsibilities. So I couldn't really finish my master in 2 years, but they allowed me to finish it in 5 years. So I took it very slowly, one course at the time. And it's a great pleasure to study when you're older because you study for the curiosity. You know, when you're studying when you're young, you still have to study and make a career, monetize. But when you study when you're old, it's just to fulfill your curiosity. Mm-hmm. That's it. And if the school allows you to that path, because it takes longer, you can't cram in a lot of exam and a lot of... And they did. So I'm very grateful to Hunter College. It made my dream come true, since I was a little girl.
And you just completed your thesis.
I just completed my thesis. I handed it in 4 days ago.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. What did that feel like? What did it feel like to hand in your thesis?
I couldn't believe it. You know, I was never a good student when I was young. And I never thought that I could be a good student. But I think I am now a good student. I'm always a little bit afraid still. Mm-hmm. It's funny, you know. I'm older than the teachers, but I am a little bit intimidated by the school. And I think it comes from when I was a little girl, not being a good student, and still lingers with me. I'm very diligent. I always, you know, that all my papers done. I always overwrite, overstudy.
My guest is Isabella Rossellini. We're talking about Link Link Circus. Actually, we're talking about animal behavior. And now we'll talk about Link Link Circus. So was your work, was your course of study, did that cause you, did that, was that the creative spark for Lingping
yes.
Circus?
In a way, you know, it was funny. I think that I come from a family of entertainers. My mother, it was Ingrid Bergman, a wonderful actress that did films like Casablanca, Notorious. My father was a film director that made very important film after the Second World War mm-hmm. that critic called neorealism because they look so realistic. They looked like documentaries, but they were not. They were films. And so I think entertainment is in my blood. More than entertainment, narrative, telling story, reporting back what I have heard, it must be in the family tradition, a storyteller. Mm-hmm. And so when I went to university and I started to study and satisfy this curiosity, and you find things that are so amazing, I start first doing a small series of short films for Sundance Channel, and they became quite successful. And then they became the base of this longer monologue. My monologues are about an hour, 15 minutes, mm-hmm. and they illustrate them with photos, animation, small films that I've done. Some of these films are in YouTube. Most of them, not all of them are called Green Porno. There is a series called Green Porno, but that name is so strong that now all my short films are called Green Porno. But in fact, they're called Mama, Seduce Me. They were on different themes. Strategy of reproduction, Green Porno. Seduction strategies, Seduce Me. Motherhood, Mamas. Does maternal instinct exist? So as I was studying, I was telling the way I knew, making films, and entertaining people. So almost all my work is comical.
So Lingping Circus, how did this specific project start, and what does the name mean?
The name Link, it means that we're link with animals. When Charles Darwin 150 years ago said that in his theory of evolution that we have an ancestor in common with the apes, people took great offense. They said, no, we human beings, we have nothing to do with animals. They are the brutes. We are different. But now, even genetics proved that, in fact, we are linked. So Link is a reference to that. Circus is because it's entertaining. I imagined it because this show is about cognition, intelligence, but scientists don't like to call it intelligence. They like the word cognition. And the word cognition itself makes you feel like, well, it's not going to be entertaining at all. That's going to be hard and a bore. So I called it circus because I wanted it to be entertaining. And I got a dog, my dog. She loves to do tricks. So I dress her up as a bee, as a dinosaur, as a chicken, as a sheep, as an elephant. And she interprets for us the animals and what I've learned at school. So it's a kind of a little circus, but instead of men dominating the animal, it's men telling we're linked. Men, woman, me, telling we're linked.
Two questions about that. One is something I want to tell you, and then one's a question. I was working on a story about a habitat in Africa that rehabilitated chimpanzees that were rescued from,
yes.
were in cages in different parts of the world. And you know, I believe they're 98.6% genetically.
Yes, we're very, very close to the chimpanzee and the bonobos. Yeah,
holding this little chimpanzee named Bahati, which means lucky in Swahili. And I had a giant bruise on my arm because I had to get all the shots to go to Africa at once. And he lifted up my shirt and kissed my bruise.
Oh,
see. And I looked in his eyes. I was like, we are the same. We are linked.
Yeah,
There's no doubt.
Definitely. You feel that when you are with apes, although I've seen them in zoos and only young apes I handled and play with them, and they completely play like our children. But I'm not very familiar with apes. I don't have my feeling since I was a child. I had a little dog, Nando. And I had the feeling that Nando was capable of thinking, of reasoning, of strategizing how to get what he wanted, and that he had strong feelings, that he loved to see me, was wagging his tail, jumping up in the air, that he was jealous if I was saying hello mm-hmm. to another dog, that he held grudges and resentment. And yet I was always told, no, it's you, it's anthropomorphism, which is a sin in science, which is attributing human capacity, human feelings to animals. But animals behave on instinct. They are a little machine, stimulus response. They don't have what we have. Mm-hmm. But the science of animal behavior, which I said is recent, has proven in the last 40 years that, in fact, they can think, they can feel, they have emotion. And even Darwin, they didn't do specifically studies on cognition and emotion of animals, speculated that there is, as more intelligent as we are, there is no doubt about that, but the difference is of degree, not of kind. That's something we have in common, that there is a link.
My guest is Isabella Rossellini. Link Link Circus is her project with the Hunter Theater Project at the Frederick Lowes Theater at Hunter College from April 18th through May 3rd. Link Link Circus, the star is your dog, Pan.
Yes.
Pan. Is Pan a diva?
Pan, yes. I mean, she is a diva. She is incredibly good on stage. I think she's teeny, because I had to have a dog that was small, because I take the theater everywhere. We went to Europe, from Spain to Greece to England to Italy to France, and I wanted a dog to travel with me on the plane. I also wanted a dog that had patches and floppy ears. I tell you why. There is something very strange. We don't have an answer yet, but it's coming. Domestic animals often have patches. Think of cow, think of goats, think of dogs. But their wild relatives, they don't have patches. Floppy ears is the same thing. A dog comes from a wolf. But floppy ears are seen in the dogs, which is a domestic version of the wolf. But all canid in the wild, whether they're wolf, foxes, coyotes, they have straight ears. So since I mentioned that in my show, and I talk about this process of domestication, which was our ancestor manipulating evolution without even knowing what evolution was, just knowing that babies look like parents, they made, they made the wolf become the dog. They made the red jungle fowl become a chicken. They made the boar become the pig we eat. So just by knowing that, generation after generation, they modify the animal. And I talked there about the film. So I wanted a dog like that, that had these characteristics. And then I contacted Bill Berlone. Bill Berlone is a fantastic man who trains animals for the theater. Because I volunteered for the Guide Dog Foundation and raised many, many dog service dogs. But I don't know how to make a dog ignore the audience. And so when I tried with one of my dog, as soon as somebody in the audience go, oh, what a little puppy, he just goes and said hello to everybody sitting in. So I had to ask for Bill. And I said, Bill, I need a small dog, patchy coat, floppy ears. And Bill brought this little rescue. Her name is Darcy. Her official name is Darcy. But in the theater, in my show, she's called Peter Pan. Because I say that maybe the dog is the Peter Pan of wolf. And one of these reasons that is the eternal youthfulness is that dogs play until they're very adult. And this is something you don't see in wolf. They play when they are young, but then they stop playing. So we think that we picked up something to, by domesticating them and taking away the aggression. Puppies generally are not aggressive. Puppy wolves are not aggressive. Other characteristics might be attached to them. So that's why I called my dog Peter Pan.
What have you taken away from when you were writing this show and from your studies that you understand humans a little better after studying animals?
I was really curious about animals, and I was really curious that I think that we're linked. A lot of people ask me, what did you learn about human being? No, I got the satisfaction that it wasn't me being a little girl thinking my dog was a baby, or it isn't me like an adult now that my maternal instinct is going askew and I want to see my dog or my cat having feelings. I am right. So that was a great satisfaction. Of course, it gives us the responsibility of how to treat them. And that is something that I'm dealing with because I have a farm. I have chickens, we have eggs, we have honey. And of course, the chickens can never be released in the wild. First of all, the original chicken, the red jungle fowl, was from Asia. So if I release them in Long Island. So I try to keep them the happiest as possible. I try to study their behavior so that I don't stress them out. And one of the things that stress them a lot, chickens, is that they form little families that they call flock. And often when we have a little backyard chicken, we take two dyes, we'll take new ones. And that's very stressful for them because they form a flock, a family, and it has to be a unit. So my farm, I don't have one big chicken coop, but I have several chicken coops smaller where the family can accommodate. Then I open them up during the day and they intermingle. And guess what? At night, without me telling them, they all go back to their own coop. They know who they belong to.
And so they go to the playground, they hang out, they have a good time, and then they go home.
They go home, exactly. That makes me feel that home, like E.T., is something very ancient, because we have it too, isn't it? When we arrive home at the end of the day, there is a feeling. And I see my chickens too. When there's a hawk, they run back to their home. There's the feeling of this is our place that is safe. And I have goats too. They go back to their home. In fact, I confiscated one of the shed that my goats were in. I got them a bigger one, a better one. And I gave the one that they used to have to the chickens. Well, they stared at that home for 3 weeks with longing eyes. Now they're happy, but it took them 3 weeks to forget that home.
There is nothing funnier than a baby goat.
Yes, they're funny.
They're so...
Animal makes me laugh. That's why always my show originally, that's what I said to myself. I said, you know, how can I match David Attenborough, National Geographic? What else can I say that they haven't said? And I said, well, maybe the fact that animals make me laugh. And that's how it started. They make me laugh. There is something very joyful and so crazy. And there are so many ways to live life on this planet that it fills me with a kind of a wonderment and joyfulness. And that's what I try to capture in my shows.
The name of the show is Link Link Circus. It's at the Hunter Theater Project, with Hunter Theater Project, at the Frederick Lowes Theater at Hunter College. It's running April 18th through May 3rd. So people should catch you now because you're going back to work. Very excitingly, as a model.
I have gone back to model.
It's amazing. This is a great story.
Amazing. I agree with you. So I worked as a model a lot, but maybe the most famous work that I've done, it was a cosmetic company called Lancôme, because I remained with Lancôme for 14 years as their spokesperson model. And, you know, my photo was everywhere, and generally contracts, especially in fashion or in cosmetic, because they are based in consumerism, that you have to have new. So you're lucky if you have a 2-year contract. But somehow I remained there for 14 years, a very, very long time. And then they decided that I had to go when I was 42 actually. And when I asked why, because we were so successful, they said because advertisements represent a dream, doesn't represent the reality. And women dream to be young or younger than their age. So a 40-year-old cannot symbolize that dream. So I was let go. Then at 63, that was 4 years ago, Lancôme called me back. And I said, but I am now 23 years older than when you let me go because I was too old. What happened to the woman's dream? They see me now. What happened to them? But now we have a woman executive. And I think this brings her, exactly. And I think she brings her, so very, very matter-of-factly, she says, oh, no, women want to be elegant. It will be sophisticated. Makeup and cream is like a toy to really make us feel better. Everybody wants that at every age. You can be representing them the best. So you come back. Because I even said, what do you want me to come back? Because it was controversial when they let me go.
Yeah,
a lot of women protested.
I remember.
So I said, you know, if I'm coming back, then maybe the press is going to bring back that sad story. And all big companies, they don't want to have... you know, anything controversial about them. I say, why don't you get Helen Mirren or Meryl Streep or, you know, somebody who's my age but who's not tinted with a history with you. And she said, no, because you represent the story the best. We have evolved also as a company, and that's why you have to come back. So I was so happy to come back. It's so wonderful to work with a woman CEO, Françoise Liman, to work with a team of young people who don't have the prejudice, if I can use a heavy loaded word, that existed 25 years ago. It's really fantastic, not only for me personally, but for every woman. I mean, I'm so lucky because I became to symbolize it, and I'm getting the salary and the cream. They're giving me a lot of free creams. I'm so happy. But the best news is that things are changing for the best for everybody.
I'm very happy for you, and I'm very happy for all of us ladies of a certain age. Isabella Rossellini, thank you so much for joining us in All of It.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.